Well, I come here when I'm in the area mostly out of selfish reasons, because every time I leave here, I'm encouraged. So thank you for your congregation. Thank you for your ministry. I think Judy's testimony this morning, how she's recovering, and I too had a joint replacement, so I can identify at some level. That was a few years ago. But while she's in recovery, she's reaching out to the gal that was bitten by a dog and encouraging her. And that's what your community does so well. So thank you for your love and support for our family. I'll just give you a quick update and a personal testimony from last Sunday. The wedding wasn't last Sunday, but Shannon approved this picture to be shown for everybody. I said, send me a family picture I can show. So our daughter Madison and her husband Owen in the middle were married in June. Daniel and Brooke, is this a pointer? That's Daniel and his wife Brooke. They just, I am a grandfather as of July 18th. It's an amazing God story. Thank you. Here's to grandparents. So they been married 4 years and felt apparently one of their first dates they talked about adoption. And in April they finished up an adoption program at their church, and at the end of it was several weeks long or something, they put their names on the church list. That was a Tuesday night. Saturday morning, back in April, a grandmother with her 16-year-old granddaughter walked into the church and said, my granddaughter is 7 months pregnant. We're looking for a good home. She chose life and wants to adopt the baby. They called Daniel and Brooke. So May and June, they were going to ultrasounds with the gal, and she accepted them, said, yes, I want you to be the adoptive parent. So July 17th, she went into labor on her due date, and Brooke and Daniel were in the next room in the hospital. And so when Samuel Craig was born, and they keep trying to call him Samuel now, and I'm like, no, it's Samuel Craig. So that's fun. Now it's Sammy Sandwich or something. But anyway, they were the first ones to hold the baby after birth. And loving on it. So in 2 weeks, October 27th is a Monday, we're all going to convene in Charleston, South Carolina for the gotcha date at the court. They're calling it gotcha, I'm not sure, but that's when they can travel across state lines and everything. But the lawyer and the mother did sign all the paperwork in the hospital. It's just more of an official thing. So pray for them and baby Samuel. Our daughter Abigail is at NC State University and her first year as a freshman. So I'll just share a family thing of how we do family and ways you can pray for us. So last weekend we were all up there for Parents Week at the college, and Abby the prior week had been to a sort of like a crew, a fellowship thing, and went up to the altar and recommitted her life to the Lord. But she was really conflicted by all the things she's hearing at the university. You know, you have the Charlie Kirk side, and then you have a very liberal in your face side. And so Sunday morning, Emily and Maddie and her husband all drove up for the weekend. And so instead of going to church Sunday morning, it was kind of impromptu from a Saturday night conversation. We're like, well, how do you respond? So we just sat there in their living room and went through the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and just read everything that Christ said and what he didn't say about living in the Roman times. And anyway, so last weekend was a real special time for our family, and thought I'd share that with you. But a reminder, when in doubt, go back to Scripture. So what do we do? Jungle Aviation and Relay Service. We, for the last 25 years, we've been with JARS relaying God's Word. to the remote places of the world, but also medicine, education, anybody who wants to work in remote parts of the world. One of the updates I sent out recently over this year is 12 apprentices that we've brought into our community, and 12 more in January. So as the baby boomer age group retires, we have to have that transfer of skill and knowledge into the next generation, or we won't make the S-curve change. So here is a short video of the apprentices, and this video is about 2 weeks, 3 weeks old.
So we've just wrecked the plane. The students are in class, and
this is done in Waxhaw, North Carolina, where I'm based.
Break the news to them that there's been an accident. We'll be flying them out in a helicopter, at which point they'll be gathering facts, documenting the accident scene.
He's got two wounds. Yeah. Both of them have head wounds.
Yeah.
We need to get him out of here.
We do need to get him out.
We have to take everything to the river, get everything across, then get everything about another 3/4 miles up to the road. Anything that's wider, our trail is 6 inches wider than our fuselage. If it's 6 inches wider than our fuselage, it's got to come off.
And you are setting up camp out here.
Yeah, we've already got camp set. We'll be here till we're not.
It's been a big moving day. We're trying to get everything from the camp to the river in preparation to get crossed. We'll lift it, get it onto the other bank, and keep doing that a couple times.
Got our wings over the creek and we started pushing into the woods. It's been the most interesting day in probably the worst way.
I'm like confused. I don't know what's going on.
All right, there's that.
This exercise is much more an exercise in logistics. That's often what happens when we do have a wrecked aircraft, just getting it out to where we can work on it. And so the challenge is to get this plane carried through the jungle about a mile to where there's a primitive road.
I'm good.
How are you guys?
To have good teamwork, to have good communication is big, and I feel like we've had a lot of that out here, and I'm really thankful to be out here with the people I'm with, for sure.
So then my next update was one of the apprentices did have a broken leg on that. There was an accident, so we actually had to extract him, and he's in recovery now. But it's a real world situation, but most of what JARS is about is for the story that doesn't happen. So, but we do bend metal from time to time, and so in remote areas, that's a very real scenario that we've been involved in. One last video, an overview of some of where we go and why we do it.
Sorry, Justin. Sometimes if you just take a second after landing to look around or walk around, you see that this really is the uttermost ends of the earth. A rock face on one side, a waterfall on the other side. There's no roads in, no roads out. Until you realize that this is the last mile.
We go with our teams. We don't just send them out unequipped, but we want to follow along their journey. We want to help them through every phase of the process. Their unity as a team is what ultimately will give them success.
When you arrive in a helicopter, the entire village comes out to see what's going on. They were extremely pleased with how quickly we got there, because they were immediately going to work right off after they disembarked.
Missionaries have been in that village for 50 years. Of all the villages, one of the most joyous, fun places to go to, you see everything from how they care for their kids. The gospel has totally transformed their community to the point that now they're even sending missionaries out.
They're my own people. I'm really, really blessed to be able to serve them. They'll be able to understand the scripture and have a transformed life and get to know Jesus personally.
just flip through a couple. There's a Bible dedication that happened in July. What I usually say about this is, can you see the runway? No, because there isn't any. 1.2 billion people still do not have the full Word of God without an Old and New Testament. So there's a lot of work to do. The next generation, I'll just show you this. Here's where we work, the Congolese rainforest, the Melanesian rainforest. That's our headquarters in Waxhaw, North Carolina. Here's where we work, 47 aircraft across the Green Band, which is right around the equator. So over the next year, here's what I'll be giving updates about. Here's where we want to go. We have a base in Yaoundé, Cameroon, and you can pray for Cameroon. Today is their election, and their president is 93 years old, hasn't lived in the country for the past decade or more, and he's running for re-election at 93 years old. So we are expecting it not to go well because there's the country split over who should be president. So our team is ready there, but that is one of our bases, and our other bases down here. This is Western DRC, Mandaka, and there is no mission aviation organization or commercial aviation working in this region. And that's where we want to go in 26 and 27, send the apprentices to start a new base of operations there. Melanesian rainforest, we have a base of operations in Ukurumpa, Papua New Guinea. Four fixed-wing aircraft, two helicopter, but we are having requests. There's 55 language programs down here in the country of Vanuatu waiting to start. So we want to use this as an anchor point and branch out from there. We do have a boat working right here in the southern tip of Papua New Guinea going out here between the islands, and so we want to put a boat and some aircraft down here in Vanuatu in the upcoming year or two. So that's what the updates will be coming on. One last update. I sent some updates on this aircraft here and this aircraft here. This is called Samaritan 1. That's Samaritan 2, donated by Samaritan's Purse. This one will be leaving for Papua New Guinea, hopefully by March. This one here is waiting to be imported into Indonesia as we speak. It was supposed to be going in July. Unfortunately, the tariff war hit, and we went from $0. You can hit the lights, Justin. We went from $0 of import because of the humanitarian work we do in Indonesia. When the tariff war hit, it went to $650,000 of tax. So we're negotiating that right now. So pray for wisdom. I don't fly for jars right now, but I fly a desk, and those are some of the conversations I get to play with on a day-to-day. And we need a lot of wisdom, a lot of prayer. Thanks for praying for our family. That's a quick overview of jars and jars today. So thank you for the opportunity to speak. Oh, yeah, I'm on your time. I will be heading back to North Carolina today. My daughter is coming home on fall break, and we realized she does not have her after 18 driver's license. So she'll be bringing the train back to Charlotte, and I will be taking her into the DMV tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. before the line starts to get her real driver's license. Oh, details. Questions? Thoughts? The JARS team is out at Keller Brothers Airport all day yesterday and today from 1 to 5, giving helicopter rides and airplane rides. It's a great team, and Dave and Justin were out yesterday kicking tires a little bit. Thanks for coming out. We did get rained out in the afternoon, and I'm not sure what today looks like, but I'm going to be heading south, and the team's more than capable. They don't need me around. I get in the way, but... if you do want a airplane ride, feel free to go out there. Scott.
You mentioned Papua New Guinea. You know we have other missionaries who support that are based there. So what kind of interaction does JARS have with MAF?
So MAF is in Mount Hagen in Papua New Guinea. That's their base. We're down in Ukurumpa. Ethnos 360 New Tribes is in Goroka. So there's three bases of operation there, and we partner with them. We have a flight. It's called an EFB, electronic flight bag. It's basically a software program you run on an iPad. And the other organizations, MAF US, Ethnos, MAF International hasn't signed on to this yet. It's not MAF US that's in Papua New Guinea. It's MAF International, two different organizations. But we work in close tandem with them. Last time I was here would have been March of 23. And I left Lancaster. I was here at the church. And then in April was in Central Africa for, we had 12 different organizations in the same room, MAF International, MAF US, JARS, Samaritan's Purse. And it was called the Central Africa Mission Aviation Forum. And it was the first time that all those organizations were in the same room saying, how can we handle the geopolitical, the regulatory, the cross-border flying, and working together. So they are our friends and partners. And MAF International just got a new president. Dave Fayok was their president. He's now going to be working for MAF US. The president of MAF US, Dave Holston, and I went through training together. So we share resources and partner together. And it's part of the body of Christ. You got hands and feet, and they. But.
And your position is what exactly?
Yeah, I'm serving as vice president of air, land, and sea operations. So that's the uniqueness of JARS. If you want to compare to MAF, we have four-wheel drive training, manual transmission training, motorcycle training. We have water safety equipment and training. We have a boat. And so we see all three of those modes of transportation working in conjunction, and that's where I sit. I get to play in all three. And if you think about my background, being raised in Lancaster County on a dairy farm, I was driving three on the tree before I should have been, and driving a tractor, sliding off the seat, pushing the clutch down at the end of the row. So I get and understand the three modes of transportation, and now God's using that. I do say I'm flying a desk, not an aircraft, so. But I do get to travel, and what puts juice in my tank is getting out to the fields and seeing the team out there getting it. That keeps me doing more emails and chasing stuff. So, we did have a new president come in 3 years ago, first president from outside the organization. His name is Steve Russell, no relation. And I serve as senior vice president under him. So it's just board contingency stuff. But my day-to-day is air, land, and sea operations. Also safety standards, auditing, those types of things. That's my kids like, what do you do besides email? But thank you. Any other questions? Thank you for your time. Thank you for your ministry here. I'm always encouraged, and I will take that sermon home with me.